Hey everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm David Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hack-a-do.
And Eric Ashberschlager.
I forgot my catchphrase.
And we are going to really strive to crack the Geek Barometer tonight. I think we can do it. And we'll get to that shortly. But Mac, why don't you kick us off? Why don't you tell us what you've been up to? And the geekier, the better, because we really want to get the Mercury rising here. I don't think there's Mercury in barometers, but who cares?
Okay, well, let's see here. Well, the whole internet all week long has been talking all about Community.
That's right.
It's been a huge controversy over the future of the show, and I just couldn't stand it anymore, so I went out, I bought the season one DVDs, and I've officially started watching Community.
Congratulations. Just in time.
Yeah, a little late, I know, but it's fun. I've watched the first three episodes of the first season now, and yeah, it's a pretty good show. Going on just the first three episodes, the writers are trying to like push how far they can go with unlikable protagonists. Yeah.
Well, season two, and probably towards the end of season one, I mean, things start to get really, I don't know, non-traditional, I suppose, the way I would describe it, so... I mean, if I remember, Eric, at the beginning, and Mac, you could reaffirm this, but like the beginning Community was fairly kind of straightforward, right? I mean, we weren't getting into time loops and wormholes and all that kind of stuff, if I recall.
No, but it's the main characters are Jeff and Britta. They, you know, they got the sexual tension going on, but they're really just sort of unlikable, you know.
I mean, Britta now is a great character. Very, very funny, but you're right. I think is kind of like boring in the beginning, just essentially a foil to, you know, emasculate Jeff, I thought.
That's true.
And then she really just turned into this great parody of, I don't know, a whole bunch of things at some point, but she's kind of let loose, and she's really, really funny. So
I'm definitely, you know, I know Abed was the real breakout character, and I can see why, because of his crazy non sequiturs. Chevy Chase is great, of course. He's always great. And I'm really interested in the character Annie. Not only is she really cute, but I think there's some real depth to the character that can be explored. The second episode had her trying to arrange a protest and getting it completely wrong. That was really funny. The first three episodes, but the second was my favorite so far. So.
All right, well, you still got another season to get into. And
yeah, well, what is it? It's on its third season now, right?
So yeah, third season.
So, yeah, I've got a whole three seasons to go, so... So I'm officially into it now. I'm into the Community.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Welcome aboard. Anything else geeky to add?
After books, Community, I want to get into Supernatural.
That's right.
Yes. That's going to be next on my list.
That's right. I've been kind of ringing that bell. It's such a different show between now and then. I mean, I don't know if it would last for the first 10 episodes, but when Ben Edlund comes aboard is when things really get kind of, you know, fun.
Okay.
So anything else geeky to add? Comic book? Give me something. Anything? Any Star Wars or Star Trek memorabilia that may have been purchased?
No, there isn't. I mean, comic books, I'm still enjoying DC's New 52.
Okay.
I picked up the Batman and Robin, which isn't bad. You know, Damian Wayne is a really interesting character.
And who's that?
He's the new Robin, who's Bruce Wayne's long-lost son. But he was raised by the League of Shadows, so he's kind of this real sort of... He's a young kid, but he's a real bastard.
Literally, apparently, right?
Yes, that's true.
Who did Bruce Wayne knock up?
He knocked up Talia. You remember her from the animated series?
That's right.
She's the mom. So Damian was raised by the League of Shadows. He has a really skewed sense of right and wrong, and Bruce is trying to get him back on the straight and narrow. But he's also like the super martial artist, too, so there's lots of action.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, the New 52, the Batman books, they're really good. The other ones are good, too. The new villain and the other one is the doll maker, who's like cuts people up and sews them back together. That's nice and messed up.
That was like Human Centipede action going on there. You know, here's my attempt at a little Batman Geek Barometer nursing. It sounds like Damian might be a little bit like Azrael from the Nightfall series. Yes? No? Maybe?
Maybe like a really younger version of Azrael.
Yeah. So like, because one of the few whole, you know, book series I read back in the day, but which I kind of enjoyed. And, spoiler alert, little shout out to Nightfall in Batman Arkham City as well. So, there you go.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, all right, good. Moving on. Eric, what about you? I know what you've been consumed with recently, and that's why I'm thinking we can break the geekometer barrier here.
Yeah, I think we'll probably kind of both be talking about this. First, it's nice to see Mac in the fresh summer glow of Community at the beginning when everything's full of optimism and sunny good times ahead. But it's been a little bit of a bummer of a week. Obviously, I think that there's the possibility just to touch on the whole hiatus thing because we might as well go there. I think it certainly would be possible to overreact. I'm trying not to go too nuts with this because obviously all the sources that are out there right now are saying that NBC has committed to a full 22 episode third season. So it's not going off the air, even if they burn them all off in the summer, as long as they get to see a full third season.
And look at it this way. They can't program them against the Olympics.
Right. Oh, that's right. I forgot. The last four episodes, that was just Arrested Development up against the opening ceremony. Winter Olympics, just the giant.
The NBC runs the Olympics, so nothing to worry about.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. Although I think the whole hiatus thing certainly has the internet up in arms. I think it's important to note that another show, a show that I know is near and dear to your heart, got a bit of a hiatus last season, and it's Parks and Rec is returned, and I think maybe had a bit of more of a resurgence than Community is in for, just because Parks and Rec is a little bit more of a mainstream show. But I still have hope that we'll at least get the rest of the third season of Community, and it's always a bummer when a truly great show falls victim to. To the machine, machine, whatever machine I feel like raging against at the moment. But I've also been rewatching episodes this season. They're just so great. I love the show so much. Anyway, but so there's a very good article over on Vulture, the blog, that kind of talks Community fans down off the ledge, and I recommend people reading it. So we shall see. We shall see. We are going to talk, Dave. Let me take you back to a time in another world, another place. I don't even know the lore. Dave and I are
back. Are you ready for this? Because this is going to be nerd-alicious.
Okay.
Dave and I are both playing the brand new hotness RPG video game, The Elder Scrolls V: Skyrim.
And according to sales numbers, the two of us and 3.8 million other people.
I know. this is the latest from Bethesda Software. This is the it's just this sprawling, huge, massive role-playing game where you can pretty much do anything you want, and you could play for 100 hours and never touch the main storyline. You just inhabit this fantasy world. In this case, it's sort of a takeoff of a kind of Viking mythology. You're in this snow-capped peaks and
Nordic.
There's a lot of towns that look like and this is going to hurt our geek barometer setting, but whatever the name of those that place was in the Two Towers, but what was the name of the horse people?
Oh yeah, that's right. Rohan.
Oh, there you go. Rohan.
We have a special guest. Just as we're speaking about this, we're going to bring on the Lord of the Geeks when it comes to this.
Oh man,
so very special guest, filibuster listeners. Let's see if we can get him on here. We're trying to tap in. Steve Power, are you there?
I am.
Steve, we just started. Our challenge here on the Friday Filibuster is to shatter the geek barometer. And Eric just began talking about the mega joint geekgasm that three of us in half-Western civilization is enjoying right now, Skyrim. So I know you'll probably – and this is, of course, Steve Power from Glass Processing and DVD Verdict, but I thought I'd get him on board just to share in the nerd love. So – But Eric was just talking about his experience, and we'll get to you in a second, Steve. So, and again, Mac, apologies in advance if the radiance of our geek.
I've heard a lot about the game. I've heard nothing but good things.
So Eric, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. So this I like to point out, this is my first experience with a game like this at all. I generally play very linear games. I prefer short games usually.
But you're a Zelda.
Yeah. When I think of Zelda, Zelda games can be big and expansive, but for the most part, if I'm playing a Mario game or something, my sort of sweet spot now that I'm old and cranky is like 10 to 12 hours.
Yes.
And now, boy, so talk about a 180. So Skyrim, I put about 10 hours in so far, and it's been out since last Friday. And it's great. Like you can just, you wander around through this lush landscape. The graphics are beautiful And you just, there's just stuff you encounter. There's enemies you encounter, and then you're on your way to do some quest thing, and you run across this ruin that you want to explore, of course, to get that, to open that secret chest that's in the bottom past the skeletons.
And surprise, it's a lockpick and fine boots, you know?
Yeah.
But who cares?
But I take them anyway.
Oh, boy. Right.
So here, this, just to get us back in the Geekrometer train, I'm currently playing a wood elf.
Yes, excellent.
By the name of Eric. I just added an H after the E in my name, because my name is already sounds like something out of Tolkien, so it helps.
What are your attributes? What kind of character are you?
I'm going for archery and sneaking. I'm really trying to be a ranged character. I'm putting a lot of my perk points toward archery, sneaking, and light armor so far. I'm really trying to build that up.
You're nimble and lethal from a distance. That's what it's like.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. Right now, if I sneak up on someone, I managed to one-shot kill a bunch of mages last night in a keep that I happened across.
What weapon are you pimping out right now?
It's a bow. I'm sort of trading in between. I have an Imperial Bow of Shocks, which delivers a certain amount of electrical damage, and I have one that will make enemies of level 10 or below run in fear.
Fantastic.
So I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between those. I'm not using magic too much. I'm not using swords or axes or clubs and things like that. So really going for the distance.
Very nice. Now, Steve, let's transition to you. Obviously, you love this very much. You, like me, dumped untold hours in Oblivion, correct? So I didn't want to look at my hour counter. But let's before we get into your take on the game, let's get right to... Who is Steve Powers' character in Skyrim right now?
I am Sigurd.
Okay.
Which is a nice proper Norse name. We even looked it up online to see what the meaning was. I don't remember it now.
Oh.
But I am hardcore Viking sword and shield. You know, like it felt right to go Nord.
Nord, sword and shield. Gotcha.
Heavy armor. You know, I'm still rocking the fine steel armor that I can now upgrade to exquisite quality.
Ooh, wow!
It's pretty awesome. It looks extremely badass. and I'm rocking. I killed a foreigner. I felt kind of bad. I committed a race crime and stole his scimitar. He was carrying a scimitar. It looked so
sweet.
Cool. So I stole his scimitar, and now that's on fire. And you know.
Nice. It sounds like a very memorable encounter.
It's a flaming scimitar.
That's good. So your take on the game in general. I believe you may have commented on a Facebook post that said, best game ever. Do you stand by that?
Statement. One of my former coworkers was talking to me about it this evening. He came in and picked up the guide for it, which is a 600-page tome of absolute wisdom. He asked me, what do you think? And I said, well, initially I was in love. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm in love, but it's new game syndrome, whatever, the excitement will fade in a week, I'll go back and finish Uncharted and whatever else, but no, after 32 hours on the Xbox 360 version and about 10 hours on the PlayStation 3 version, it is officially my favorite freaking game of all time.
So, why did you split time between the versions?
I originally brought both home and was going to make a judgment call on which version I wanted to play, and I really wanted to get the PS3 version, because I just like playing on PS3. But graphically, the Xbox was a few ticks better. It was a little bit nicer looking. And, of course, you got to have the absolute best Skyrim experience that you're going to get on a console. I wasn't going to go PC. So I ended up sticking with the 360 version. But then one of the other guys came over. Actually, it was when we recorded Blast Processing last week and fired in the PS3 version. And started playing. And I was like, this looks damn good, too. I don't know. And then... when he started playing, he went in a completely different direction with his character. Like, he, right from the beginning of the game, he chose a different faction and all this kind of stuff. So then the gears started turning in my head, and I'm like, I'm going to start a character on both, and I'm going to go in completely opposite directions with the storyline.
Geek barometer rising.
Well, I record a video game podcast.
That is impressive.
So what about you? What's your Skyrim story?
My Skyrim story. These are like Skyrim testimonials, right? I was struggling with drugs when I was younger. And so I've got I followed more with, probably no surprise, but I followed more with the hack and bludgeoning type. So I am Thorg Van Damme. I'm a Nord as well, and just rocking some steel plate armor. I killed some mage and I took his helmet. Even though I'm not big into magic, I'm straight up, like I said, bludgeoning and stabbing and stuff. But he had this sweet helmet that gives magical boost. which I'm less interested in, more interested in the fact that it kind of makes me look, you know, like Darth Vader. So I got this sweet helmet over my head and my dwarven battle axe of burning, which takes out guys with one swipe and all manner of local wildlife. And my memorable Skyrim encounter was a 1-on-2 dragon fight. Took two dragons out simultaneously. Nice. So
I had one of those too. It freaked me out.
Yeah, it's, yeah, they came. It was quite the experience. It wasn't like facing off with an elk. Or one of the hundreds of bandits I've mercilessly slaughtered.
or a salmon.
I mean, they should have called it Elder Scrolls V Bandit Genocide. Killed so many bandits. But anyway.
I want to add that my character is wearing the hide of a werewolf. So I'm pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and I'm also really happy with my horse. Today, my horse, I got off of my horse to fire arrows at a frostbite spider that was across the river. And all of a sudden, I look across the river. My horse has crossed the river, and is attacking the spider for me. So I think we have a very special connection.
Well, what it sounds like,
Butterscotch, get back here!
It sounds like the horse is braver than you, actually.
I think the horse is.
As you fire arrows from across the river,
pretty soon I'm gonna have to let him start riding me.
Actually, I'm impressed with the fact that you can get arrows across the river because my archery sucks so bad. I tried shooting arrows at a dragon and. They literally go 10 feet and drop, so it's just like throwing paper airplanes.
I just keep thinking of that Vladimir Kulich in the 13th Warrior, like, oh, bows are for pansies. You know?
That's me. All right. We should be careful we don't turn this into Blast Prostitute.
Yeah, we'll
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous time sink for sure. And I thought Arkham City was overwhelming in content. This is just something else, and it's like, it's to the point where I got to control my habit because you can just lose yourself in that. So kudos to Bethesda. So let's move on to
actually, Dave. Yeah. I you talk about the gate barometer. I know what the name Thorg refers to.
Okay, please do tell.
Oh, you and I both know.
We do know. Tell the
should we spoil it or should we just let those who are in the know be in the know?
No, we can spoil it. Go for it. Who is Thorg?
That is the huge, gigantic dude from Gymkata.
Yes. Jonathan Kavitz, arch rival from Gymkata. He eventually dies from a arrow wound and he dies in a pigsty. But, you know, in his memory, I thought I would do it. So, good call. Good catch, Mac. So, Mac, why don't you kick us off with stuff we're working on for the site?
Okay, we're going to move on from video games. Also, Assassin's Creed just came out. And we're going to move on to what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and we're going to take a look at the cover art gallery for November 22nd.
Yes, and speaking of bludgeoning and stabbing, Conan, which I didn't see. Steve, did you end up seeing Conan?
I was there opening night, yeah.
Yeah, and quick capsule, up or down, yes or no, what?
I enjoyed it, and it was about as good as I expected it to be, but it could have been better.
Okay.
I had a lot of fun. It does seem like...
To me, though, anything that's not great, because the property is so great, you know, like the IP is just so cool, it's kind of a bummer, but we'll see.
I think it's kind of, and I won't go too long-winded with this, but when you read Howard's stuff, and his writing is just so good, like his use of language is so awesome, but when you think about the plots themselves, they're really simple, they're really straightforward, they're pretty short, they're pretty breezy, and that's exactly what the movie was.
All right.
You know, it felt like a Howard story turned into a film.
So, Momoa, better in Conan or better in Game of Thrones?
Better in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's what I tend to hear. So.
He was awesome in Conan, but he was better in Game of Thrones.
Very good. All right, anything else? What else do we see, guys?
So we got Super 8 from J.J. Abrams. Right. Another sort of tribute to 80s Spielbergisms.
Yeah, another one I didn't see. So
best movie since 1985.
What's that?
Best damn film I've seen since 1985.
Wait, the movie 1985, the sequel to 1984? Or the
No, just the year 1985. Maybe 1986.
Hey, here's I can't tell if this is CGI. I guess it is CGI, but Tekken Blood Vengeance. I guess it's CGI, right? I did watch the live-action Tekken movie, which pooped on my soul.
Yeah. Gary Daniels was awesome in it, though, wasn't he?
I forget about all that stuff.
It was nice to see Rushmore make it onto Blu-ray.
Ooh, Criterion right.
Blu-ray, it's nice.
Yeah, the Criterion edition. Yeah.
And not Criterion, but also on Blu-ray, Three Amigos, speaking of Chevy Chase.
Should be Criterion.
Right. Yeah. The Invisible Swordsman lives.
Oh, I was just thinking about that.
Why is this the first thing everyone thinks of when they hear the Three Amigos? You shot the Invisible Swordsman!
That's exactly the line that I thought of as soon as you said that.
Another Van Damme collection. Yet again, just still waiting on that Blu-ray treatment of Sudden Death that we're just all...
Oh, yeah. This one has Death Warrant. Is that close?
You know, Death Warrant. Did I see? I can't remember. I recently reviewed a Blu-ray of a pretty bad Van Damme movie. It may have been Death Warrant. I can't remember. That was really in the golden age of the 90s action movies that all had nondescript titles.
It also has Cyborg and Double Impact.
Double Impact's
one where he's twins, right?
Yeah, terrible. It was so bad.
Wasn't Cyborg originally supposed to be Masters of the Universe 2?
I have no idea, but I wish.
I think it was.
A great piece of trivia. A movie I've not yet seen yet. It's on deck to review, but Hell Driver. Looks pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. It's kind of Asian action martial arts type of stuff.
Yeah. So.
Is it the sequel to Drive Angry?
I hope not. No movie that irritated me.
We have the complete sixth season of Doctor Who, the new series, which was previously released in two half-season sets, but here's the whole deal, so if you've been waiting for it.
Very nice. All right, anything else, gentlemen?
I have DVD and Blu-ray releases of Godzilla vs. Megalon, which I know primarily from Mystery Science Theater. That's one with the Jet Jaguar, isn't it, Matt?
Yes.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, this doesn't look like it's a shout release. If it was, I was going to... say, well, maybe that'll be on one of the new box sets, but fingers crossed.
A lot of legal finagling to get that one.
Yeah, always.
All right, well, feel free to purchase and support DVD Verdict. And speaking of that, if you're doing some Christmas shopping through Amazon, we have a handy link, top left corner, in DVD Verdict. It's such a little portal, and it just brings it to Amazon, and your purchases, a little fraction of the purchases go to help DVD Verdict. So no change to you, but we would appreciate the support. So there you go. But... inadvertently, sleazy sounding DVD release of the week, Mac.
Through the Wormhole.
That's nice. With Morgan Freeman. You have to finish it. That makes it
a little bit uncomfortable, actually.
All right. Steve, what about you? Inadvertently, sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. You got something?
Sleazy sounding DVD release of the week?
Oh, this is your first time?
Have you never seen the Predator Buster before?
That's right. So DVD that is inadvertently sleazy sounding. So,
fist to fist.
There you go.
Nice.
Great rookie campaign right there. All right, Eric?
I'll go with Way Down East. D.W. Griffith adult material.
We'll go with The Fast and the Furry.
That's good.
Okay, well, this is going to be a very extremely ambush topic because we brought Steve on short notice. So we'll put you last, Steve, so you can... concoct an ambush topic for us. But this is where we just throw random topics at each other to spawn just fantastic conversation. And, you know, I'll start us off with all this talk of Skyrims and role-playing and dragons and fantasy. Character from a fantasy film or TV show that you would not want to be, you would not want to role-play. So a bad character from a fantasy show or TV series that would suck to be in to use as a role-playing game. I really described that terribly, but you get the sense.
I got one already.
no examples, because you're going to pick something that I'm
sure. Yeah, really.
I would hate to be either of the brownies from Willow, I think.
Very limited skill set.
Really, yeah, you just kind of like just spend all your time trying to traverse across a table. Take you like 10 hours just to make it from one end of the cabin to the other.
Well, they cut the rope at the one point that knocked all the barrels fall down, right? See, that
yeah,
was
and, that, and, that, and that, that would be a lot of fun 25 hours into the game.
I guess being smarmy could be fun.
So you get smarmy points.
Well, it is.
Perks in smarmy.
Smarm perks, yeah.
I don't know. They claim they could pick the lock, but they don't actually do it. I always wondered if could they actually pick the lock, or was that just talk? I always wondered that.
Well, they were
they did pick the lock, didn't they?
No, Mad Mardigan took their little spear and then he picked the lock.
But I thought he got hit with the dust of broken heart.
That's right. Good call, Steve.
Well, now I have to watch the movie again.
There you go.
Excellent.
You are free.
That's never a bad thing.
There you go. You are free. Actually, the brownies are responsible for one of the more gorier ways. I mean, I've always thought that Willow's one of the gorier PG movies you'll find. And the whole Nakmar Castle invasion, they release like these giant spike catapults that just impale these guys. I don't know if you remember that scene.
They go through the shields and everything.
Go through the shield and impale those guys. So they were, I mean, aside from Mad Mardigan's, you know, sword, you know, pornographic sword belly thrust on General Kale, that was pretty violent. So.
And what, did he have like three swords sticking out of him by the end of it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got it good. Yeah.
He looked like Beetlejuice in that when he, you know. But that's true, though. That is, that would take forever for them to traverse anything, so that's a good one. All right. Mac or Steve?
Let's see. I will go with, I believe it's pronounced Malik or Malik, who is the comic relief guy from Conan the Destroyer.
Is it the thief?
Yeah, the thief guy.
He sucks so bad. He sucks so bad. Like, and his whole, you know, he becomes the fool at the end, right?
He becomes like the new court jester, right? I mean, that's how good of a thief he was.
That's like you know, you help save the world and you are now a janitor, my pal. But he deserves it because he sucked. He brought nothing to the table.
Like a surfer tan and spiky hair.
Exactly.
So terrible.
He didn't really do a whole lot of thieving. He would just kind of whined a lot.
Yeah. And he hid under tables or something, didn't he?
Right.
Level 5, coward.
Your hiding skill is top notch.
That's right. You can use the yellow belly perk right now. All right.
I've got Barlamin Butterbur, the caretaker at a prancing pony in Bree.
Oh. Yeah, he was kind of a stiff.
With a beard.
He was kind of a stiff, wasn't he?
Perks include vaguely distant memory. Early onset Alzheimer's.
That's right. You can wait for 12 hours and the answer will come to you eventually. Well, I'm going to go back to the Willow Well because it's so rich, but Burglecut. There's a lot of good ones in the Elwynn Village. I mean, Vonkar would be badass. We could all agree on that, right? I mean,
oh sure.
Vonkar would run around just killing all the devil dogs there, but Burglecut just sucks. So, I mean, +5 in bird poop attraction.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly what are his attributes?
Haggling, I suppose. Land theft.
Douchebaggery.
Douchebaggery. You know, congratulations, you are now a level 3 slumlord. Yeah, he was just terrible from beginning to end. So, although that would be a good name for, if I were to start a PS3, you know, branch off game, I think I'd go with Burglecut and try to redeem some of his. All right, good. Mac, why don't you go next?
Okay, I guess this is kind of a leftover from Halloween, but it could be any time of year. Scenes that take place in cemeteries.
That's good.
Well, I'll go with a movie that I reviewed recently, The Frighteners. There's a couple scenes in the cemetery, both of which involve the ghost of a drill sergeant who berates Michael J. Fox. And actually, morphs into, you know, full army gear with machine guns and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was about to say, doesn't he bust out the machine guns?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He does.
I haven't seen that movie since I think it was in theater.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, that seems pretty omnipresent as far as, I mean, there's like 30 DVD releases.
Well, to be fair, this is only the second time I'd seen it since in the theater, so.
Been a long time.
So I'm with Steve on this one.
Well, I'm going to go... I'm going to go with a Peter Jackson movie, too. We'll go with Dead Alive, Kung Fu Priest.
I'm here to kick ass for the Lord.
Probably one of the most quoted movies from annoying middle schoolers since Monty Python. Using that terrible action that Steve just employed.
Touche. Touche.
But anyway.
Dave, I don't think he was doing an accent.
Hate crime. That's hate crime. But yeah, obviously, you know, great sequence and ends with a pretty sweet death scene with the priest getting impaled on a statue. So
there you go. I'm going to throw The Crow in there.
Oh, sure.
That is a movie I haven't seen since the theater.
It had been a few years, and I watched the Blu-ray, and I think like pretty much half the movie takes place in that freaking cemetery.
All right, Mac, what do you got?
I went with young Sherlock Holmes.
Ooh,
yeah. The scene in the cemetery is when our young heroes
establish that haunts our dreams here on the Friday filibuster.
Yeah. our heroes get hit with the deadly hallucinogen while they're in the cemetery and have freaky visions. And the girl, I forget her name, but she sees like zombies and skeletons and scary stuff. And Holmes sees his parents being disapproving of him. And best of all, though, is Watson, who comes across the refrigerator full of food. And the food all sprouts little, like, cartoon character, like Muppet eyeballs, and all starts talking to him and starts dancing around him and then going down his throat and stuffing his face with him.
Speaking of kid-oriented movies that are absolutely terrifying. You know,
yeah. Right. This is back when PG meant something.
That's right.
You needed parental guidance.
Yeah, that's right. Parents should be, you know, parents should guide you here. We mean it.
I still remember that Young Sherlock Holmes, that movie opened in January, and there was a huge ad in the paper that called it Movie of the Year for that year.
Oh, wow.
I remember the Batman, you know, 1989 Batman, Movie of the Decade. That's used to be the trend. But I'm just thinking of the parental guidance, you know. It's like, oh, you want to bring your parents? Boom, Mola Ram taking a guy's heart out of his chest.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to need a PG-13.
Yeah, face melting in front of the arc. How you'd like that, so. Okay, Eric, what do you got?
All right, Signs of the Zodiac. Things related to Signs of the Zodiac.
Oh.
Wow.
I just had my horoscope done the other night.
Oh, really?
Coincidence. Yeah.
How's it looking? How are things looking?
Not bad.
That's good.
Is that like getting your nails done? There are a lot of emery boards involved. And...
No, it wasn't that elaborate, sadly.
Bummer. Any movie character drive a Ford Taurus?
Didn't RoboCop drive a Ford Taurus?
Jack Bauer must have at some point.
That's right.
Is it too obvious to go with the movie Zodiac? You know, the David Fincher?
Was he really about the Zodiac signs, though? Yeah, I guess he was, yeah.
Well, he had the name, but it came from something. It was from his watch, though, as he got the name from, right? Or am I not remembering it right? I don't know, whatever. It's a really good movie.
It is.
Well, the easy one would be to say how, like in that movie My Life, didn't Michael Keaton die from cancer? But we won't say that.
Oh!
technically that works. I will
right?
allow
it. Allow that? Okay, but I'm going to go with something else. That's always fun.
Step Mom.
That's always a comedy gold there. But bringing a movie that I saw over the weekend called The Immortals, starring, the spelling isn't right, obviously, but Ares is in this movie.
So there you go.
It's A-R-E-S, but who cares? We're going to go with a homonym here, right? Homonym. But so, yeah, Ares in The Immortals, which was a pretty goofy movie and, you know, a lot of some dopey stuff, and the gods of Olympus look like, you know, rejects from an off-Broadway Cirque du Soleil production. But, you know, there's some pretty badass action at the end, and I walked away, you know, fairly enjoying myself, but there's a time when Ares comes down, helps the humans. Zeus gets mad at Ares and, like, uses some kind of Kratos fire chain whip thing and whips him through a wall and just to show all the gods that he wasn't kidding, so he killed Ares. So all that to say, Immortals is dopey fun, the end.
Directed by Tarsem, correct?
Yeah, the guy did The Cell.
Yeah.
Zodiac, man.
Well, I'm going to read out the signs to you, Steve, see if anything clicks.
There you go.
No, I know the signs, but I'm just trying to think. All I can keep thinking of is goddamn Dragonheart and that stupid constellation.
Go with it, Sean
fine.
Connery.
Go for it.
But it's not really the Zodiac.
That's all right. Stars are stars. Go with it.
Okay, sure. Dragonheart, crappy Sean Connery movie. Moving on.
That's right. Sean Connery. Yeah.
That's right.
Moving on.
How does that CGI stack up now? You think?
It's horrible. It's really, really bad.
Like,
but I'm a goddamn dragon.
I mean, the dragons in Skyrim are probably more realistic, right?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely more terrifying.
All right.
So I recently saw for the first time Dirty Harry, and the killer in that movie goes by the name Scorpio.
Yeah,
based on the Zodiac killer.
You bastard.
Was it? Oh, okay. I didn't actually know. That movie is the template for a lot of what came after, and there are a lot of things in it that were reference. And even in The Naked Gun, there's actually an exchange between Clint Eastwood and the mayor that is mirrored exactly in Naked Gun. The scene where I think the mayor says something about, you know, it not being policy, and, you know, Frank says, oh, if I see three guys in the park stabbing another guy, you know, I shoot the bastards. And that's actually taken, except for the joke part, that's taken directly from Dirty Harry. I did not know that.
Who do you end up killing? Street mimes or something?
I think it was a Shakespeare in the Park.
Oh, that's right.
Was it the same mayor as from Dirty Harry?
No. The mayor,
John Vernon, wasn't it?
No, the mayor Naked Gun was the woman.
Oh, okay. I know.
Awesome,
the old,
if it was the same actor.
The short-lived Sledgehammer TV series. They used John Vernon as the mayor.
Oh, I watched that show. I like that show. Anyway, so, although that Dirty Harry is kind of a weird movie because the pacing is really not what you get from a movie these days. Like, they basically catch the killer like three times and they have to let him go on a technicality, and then it's 1971. They made movies differently in 1971, I guess.
They sure did.
All right, Steve, take us home.
Actor who's appeared in the most movies that you've never seen.
Wow.
Come on, you got to swing it out of the gate.
Wow. You know, like an actor who you've seen in hundreds of films. You know, you go to the video store, you see like 80 movies with this guy in them, but you've never actually seen him.
Man.
Or seen very little of them. Is that possible? You can go on
say that.
Well, I guess, yeah, you could go on that, I suppose.
Okay, here you go. I have seen very criminally few Clint Eastwood movies.
Really?
Oh.
The first time I saw the Man with No Name trilogy is when I had to review it for the site, which was, you know, last year. And before that, man, I couldn't even tell you. I think I saw Absolute Power, maybe, but I had very, very few Clint Eastwood movies. And speaking of Dirty Harry, first time I saw that was Dan Mancini. I did a Objection podcast about that. So that was the first time I'd seen that. So
you gotta check out Unforgiven sometime.
And that's, again, something I never got around to. So
Outlaw Josie Wales.
There you go.
In the Line of Fire.
Not bad. Actually, I may have seen. Okay, I don't. Maybe I've seen him because that's the one with Malkovich.
Yeah.
I didn't see Absolute Power. So, yeah. But regardless, not very like Clint Eastwood library, is, you know, very underrepresented.
Okay, well, I'll stick with the macho semi icon department. I'm gonna say Jason Statham. I do not watch the kind of movies that Jason Statham appears in.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to take off my shirt and beat up these bad guys.
I could not even pick him out of a crowd. I have
a feeling he stands out in a crowd.
His head is shaved for perfect aerodynamics while he's running.
Were we specifying male actors on this?
No, actors, actresses. I'm equal opportunity.
Nice. The first name that jumped into my head was Reese Witherspoon.
Ooh. I'm envious of you, actually, then.
She's super famous. She seems like she's always in movies all the time, but somehow I just never trying to think of what I've seen that she's been in. You know?
But she's one of those actors who gets
Election.
Like.
You know, I only saw part of Election. I haven't seen the whole movie.
She commands like $15 million a picture or something like that.
Exactly.
She's and I like, never ever see things list. That do well with her in them. You know? She's like Jennifer Aniston. Like, Hollywood tells me that Jennifer Aniston is a superstar, but all of her movies are terrible.
She has friends on her resume, though.
Yes.
Aside
from Office Space, I can't think of a single Jennifer Aniston movie that's tolerable.
Horrible Bosses was pretty fun.
Oh, was it?
Iron Giant.
Yeah. Was she an Iron Giant?
Yeah, she was the mom.
Oh, okay. I'll give her that then.
Fair enough.
That's probably my all-time favorite animated film, so maybe I'll let that one.
Well, Reese Witherspoon, you got Election and
keep going.
Wait, that go? Movie. Walk the Line. She was in that.
She was Walk the Line.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. Yeah, no hate for Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash is the man, but I haven't seen it yet.
Legally Blonde was the one that made her famous.
Right, that's kind of she's synonymous with that one. I actually haven't seen that one. It could be Genius for all I know, but I haven't seen it.
It's okay.
Legally Blonde 2, something, something, something.
Yeah, that was bad.
All right, good one. Steve, go ahead. Let's hear it.
I mean, I was expecting, you know, a whole legion of, you know, B actors like Wesley Snipes or something like this.
No,
but now I forgot what crowd I was talking to.
We all know about Wesley Snipes.
I'm actually, this one might shock a lot of people.
Yeah, that's actually, Steve, that's the opposite of us.
Yeah. Jeez.
Wesley Snipes. We've seen a ton of him. Tony Jaa. We got all his movies. Van Damme, completionist here, but Clint Eastwood, Reese Witherspoon, no chance.
I'm going to go with, it seems like every other week I got a new movie with this guy in it coming into the store, and I've never heard of any of them, and I've only ever seen two.
All right.
I'm going to go with Steven Seagal.
Okay.
Wow. I've only ever seen Under Siege and this really horrible, crappy one that I had to review for DVD Verdict where he played a Russian mobster. I don't even remember the name, like Blood Death Kill or something like this. You
know? All right. Quote unquote Russian.
Yeah, he was a Russian former gangster turned novelist.
Well, that's actually impressive.
Wow,
what?
I'm shocked. So it was the James Michener story.
Yeah, and he was bigger than Brando in Apocalypse Now. He was huge.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Steven Seagal is
I can't even like Driven to Kill or.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Killing Maybe Five or I don't know.
I mean. I will say that I've seen way more Seagal movies than I have Clint Eastwood movies.
There's something seriously wrong with you, David Johnson.
Humphrey Bogart movies. I've seen Casablanca. I've seen all both Under Sieges and all. Terrible. But yeah, that's impressive that you managed to elude his grasp.
My dad, who is hilarious, like dad is he's a totally all in movie watcher. But he's got this way. He's an old cat. He's 73, 74. And, he's really got this way about him when he watches a movie. There's no bullshit with my father. You know? And he watches something and he comes in and he's the harshest critic imaginable, but he's just got this way with words. He's got this mumbly voice and he's got this really strong Newfoundland accent. So he comes in, he's like, "That's Steven Seagal, boy. I hate him. He'd be in a building and it'd blow up and he'd come out and not a hair out of place."
That's true. That
and
true.
He totally turned me on him.
Oh man.
He just totally turned me on. So like, I even well. See the guy, and I'm like, I can't watch this movie. I just can't.
Oh, you're not really missing much, but it's that is impressive because he is omnipresent for sure.
And he turned me on De Niro, but that's another story too.
Well, yeah, very similar acting styles there. So, all right, very good.
You gotta go to the bathroom, boy.
Yeah, we peel back the curtain on a lot of things here. So he really exposed the soft underbelly of the Friday filibuster. So impressed. So, well, anyway, that'll be it. So, thank you, Steve, for jumping on short notice.
Thanks for having me.
You brought a lot to the table, believe it or not. My expectations were low, but you exceeded them. So, and as always, Mac and Eric, thanks so much. Friday filibuster, DVDverdict.com is our email. If you do wish to send us an email, check out Blast Processing, the most excellent video game podcast as well. And with that, Mac, take us home.
Wraith is Itar spelled backwards.